I love the most. I lured her out here to the coast. I know it's not my place to boast, but she's the best, and she is my half-German girlfriend. Half-German girlfriend, half-German girlfriend, and I love her so. The Nazi and the Orthodox Jew would both be disgusted if they knew about the dirty things we do. On that they would agree. She's my half-German girlfriend, half-German girlfriend, half-German girlfriend, and I love her so. Half of German culture is sublime. And I guess we'll breathe the rest all out in time. Our mongrel children will go forth, proving their superior worth. The miscegenated will inherit the earth, destroying purity. We have to half-German girlfriend, half-German girlfriend, and I love her so. Never, never gonna let her go, oh no, cause you and I know, that you and I know that I'm a lucky little so-and-so, oh-oh.
A Halsluchen Bagrisim, I am Yiddish, what am I saying? The new Yiddish rep radio. That song just makes me crazy.
What's the fun in this lead?
This lead is like Jeff Berner, a fellow from Canada, from Vancouver, Canada, and it's from an album called, let's see, what is it called? I got to get my glasses. It's called Klezmer Mongrels. Yeah, I'm going to play a little ditty later on that you're going to love. This guy is like a mix between Mickey Katz and Tom Smothers. If you see him live, he plays the accordion, and he's very funny. So I thought I'd play a little bit of his record. And I have no idea where it's available, but you can probably get it in iTunes. That's Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, Berner, B-E-R-N-E-R, and it's called Klezmer Mongrels. And if you enjoy this crazy kind of stuff, you'll enjoy the album. He performed for New Yiddish Rep, opening for Michael Winograd. I asked Michael to, you know, we sponsored a concert by his trio. And he asked Jeff to open up, and I'm glad he did, because I just, every time I want to have a laugh, I just put on Half German Girlfriend. And the album art is also quite interesting. I can't show it to you, but it's. I'm just trying to see who did painting by Kelly Hayes.
This is the picture with the dog.
Yeah, the dog.
All right, you've got to look them up. That's all I can say to the audience.
Look them up. We are going to talk a little bit about what's coming up at the New Yiddish Rep. And also, most of the show will be devoted to Minna Byrne, whose unveiling was today. Did you go, Leza?
Nein, ich bin nicht gegangen. Ich darf gehen, aber ich bin geblieben
in der Heim. Aber the bus went out there to Flushing, to the cemetery out there, where the greats of the American Yiddish theater are buried. And there was an unveiling. And when they came back, we had a chance to sit down with some people who knew Minna and just reminisce about her and her life and her art. And I'm going to play that for you in a little while. Laser, you have any anecdotes about Minna?
You know, I wish I knew her better than I did. I really only got to talk to her. Well, I guess I got to talk to her twice. Mm-hmm. One time the Folksbühne sent me to do an interview with her. Mm-hmm. When they put out this little newsletter, And so I, you know, she talked to me for a while, and I wrote up the interview. And unfortunately, I made a mistake in the interview, and I wrote the wrong name of the place, the shtetl where she was born. And apparently, that didn't make it happen. So. She didn't say it to me, but somebody else let me know that I'd made the mistake.
All right, we all make mistakes.
It's not the end of the world.
But I had the pleasure of working with her. Mm-hmm. And Minna passed at the age of 99. Mm-hmm. And she was active till the very end. There was one moment at the Yafak where she did a duet with High Wolf, mm-hmm. something she used to do with her husband, Ben Bonus. And I regret to this day, I had the video camera there because I was going to video Shane's show, you know, the Big Bupkis. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to video that. It was, I wish I had it. What can you do? One of those golden opportunities missed. But I understand you were at a show yesterday. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
That was just our own little theater troupe. We are the Volksbühne troupe, the sort of youth troupe of the Volksbühne theater. Mm-hmm. Went out to Westlake, New Jersey, and we performed in front of a pretty sizable audience there in a beautiful sort of like a golfing resort, health spa. I don't know what it is, but it was a very nice place.
What show was it?
Yeah. It was the Macht der Zimmes. That's our second. We have two shows which we bring to different places in the mm-hmm. northeastern territories. And we haven't done this show in a couple of years, actually, just because for some reason we don't return. So it was brushing up some old material we haven't done in a while, and also. You know, some of our newer members, teaching them how to, you know, they had to do this for the first time. So it was interesting, interesting experience. Not entirely successful, but interesting.
Oh, don't ever say that on the radio. Folks, they were tearing their hair out. That's how much they loved it.
I'm just too brutally honest. What can I say? I mean, I'm not saying that this was a problem with us. I mean, often it's you know, a lot of performances.
Let's just let it go.
All right.
I want to talk a little bit about a project that we're working on at the New Yiddish Rep. As some of you may know, the Merchant of Venice has it started already? Have they opened it? At any rate, they should have opened or should be opening soon on Broadway with Al Pacino as Shylock. This is the Public Theater's production from Shakespeare in the Park, which was greeted with great acclaim by the critics. And I know that Al has been trying to do Shakespeare for years. He should keep trying. What can I say? You know, he made that movie about the Merchant of Venice and all of that. But anyway, it's opening on Broadway. We decided at New Yiddish Rep that we were going to do our own production, and it's going to be called The Yiddish Shylock, Jacob Adler's Reinvention of the Merchant of Venice.
Hello.
Now, Jacob Adler, the great eagle, Adler means eagle, and you know, the Stella Adler Studios is thriving today. They don't do Yiddish theater, but I wrote them. I said, listen, Pacino's going to do this on Broadway. You know, how about we do your Tom Oppenheim, it runs it now, and I think Adler was his great-grandfather or his grand. Anyway, I said, why not do this? And we'll do it the way Adler did it on Broadway in 1903. Adler did a version where he did Shylock, and he spoke all the lines in Yiddish, and all the other actors spoke it in English. This production was a result of some producers seeing his original Yiddish version which he put up in 1899, I think. And they said, let's try this. And it was a very, very successful. It got a mixed reaction from the critics, but it was the public loved it. They did it again in 1905. So I said, Tom, I sent them an email. I said, why don't we do this? We can spin a lot of publicity off of the Broadway production. The top ticket for that production, by the way, is during the Christmas season. And believe it or not, it is over $300 a ticket.
Wow. No way.
Yeah. I said, I'll play Shylock in Yiddish, and you can get some of the students from your school to do the other parts. This was suggested to me by Coret O'Brien. Mm-hmm. We had coffee a while ago, and she said, why don't you try this? So I said, that's a good idea, and I wrote the email. Of course, I haven't heard anything. I never heard back from him. But you know what? We can do it anyway. We'll out this man. We'll do it ourselves. It's interesting that Adler cut half the play. He cut the Portia subplot out altogether. I mean, what Jewish audience is interested in this? the Prince of Morocco and this one and that one. Even though...
unless you made one of them Jewish, that would be something.
he couldn't cut it out altogether because the reason they borrow the money from Shylock is so one of them can woo Portia in a manner becoming a noble of the city of Venice. He really cut the play practically in half so that A, Shylock would appear on the stage more frequently. And B, to cater to his audience. And it's very interesting, but it's very Deutschmärisch.
I think all theater was pretty Deutschmärisch back then.
It's true, yes. And I, you know, when I mentioned it to Shane Baker, he informed me that that was the case. But there's a beautiful, wonderful translation by Josef Bubschewer. Have you heard of him, Laser?
He was a well-known poet. I haven't read much of his, but he's
yes,
well-known.
A well-known poet, and apparently it is said, although I haven't been able to corroborate it, I read that Adler commissioned him to do the translation in 1899. Bubschewer did it. He translated the entire play, and I have to tell you, he captured the music and the poetry wonderfully. He was a very talented poet, and he was quite a scholar of American literature. He translated Walt Whitman into Yiddish and various other things, and he was a revolutionary. I'm not talking about a lefty. I'm talking about a revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And right after he translated this, Merchant of Venice, he was committed to an asylum in Poughkeepsie, New York, and that's where he ended his days. He was there for 15 years, and he died there. This is something that I guess is revolutionaries are susceptible to. But anyway.
This is something interesting. I just looked him up here. It looks like he was born in Lubavitch.
In the town
of Lubavitch Hasidim.
Yeah. There's a cute story you're going to hear with Minna and Ben about the Lubavitch Rebbe during this interview. But anyway, we're going to do what I hope will be a minimum of a staged reading of Adler's version. And because Bubschewer's poetry is so beautiful, we're going to use Bubschewer's text instead of Adler's. We'll cut it the way Adler cut it. And there were little subtle things that he added, a word here, a word there, to appeal to his audience that we'll keep. But for the most part, it'll be Bubschewer's translation, which, as I say, is gorgeous. It is available online at the Spielberg Digital Library, which is a they digitize books from the National Yiddish Book Center in Amherst. And if you want to download it and take a look at it, and anybody in the audience who wants to download it and take a look at it, that's the place to do it. It's B-O-V-S-H-O-V-E-R. you have to be very specific, because otherwise, you know, the search won't come up. You know, if you spell it wrong, the search won't come up with it. So just be advised about that. We are broadcasting on BBS Radio in, you guessed it, Paradise, California. And yes, Paradise, California. We would not broadcast from just anywhere. You know, being a Yiddish show, we're broadcasting from Paradise. If you have stories about Minna Byrne, and it's live, and if you have stories about Minna Byrne that you want to tell us, or you want to reminisce about her, please call 888. It's toll-free, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about my half-German girlfriend. And that's in the United States and Canada. And we'll try and you know, answer whatever questions you have. Minna was a presence. She was a force of nature. You know, she commanded the stage. And I was fortunate enough to work with her and speak to her. And she supported New Yiddish Rep very graciously, and you know, she could be a stormy diva, but it was always a lighthearted, it was always fun, and she was a great lady. There aren't many left. There's going to be a dinner this Wednesday night for the 95th birthday of Shifra Lehrer. You'll hear about that in the segment that we're going to play about Minna. And who else is there? Who else have we got from the old timers?
You know, well, there's Feibusch, who's going to have his show in the next couple of weeks.
Right, Feibusch Finkel. But the numbers are dwindling, and you know, it's the question is, how are we going to, where are the Yiddish actors going to come from, Leiser?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think before you need actors, you need a theater, right? I mean,
you don't really need a theater. You need the will to do Yiddish theater. We don't really have a theater, and
I think just about our troupe. You know, there are at least, you know, half of our troupe was made of people who didn't know any Yiddish until a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. You know, they just learned it in order to play because New York is packed.
You know what?
Actors,
the problem is that if you want to develop some real Yiddish actors, first of all, you have to develop actors, and they have to be given a chance to do more than my Bubby's Lakshenkugel. And this is, you know, I'm serious. I mean, I'm not putting it down. Mm-hmm. It's a service. I mean, you know, you go here, you go there, you go to Baltimore and Cleveland and wherever it is that you go and entertain people. But these young actors have to be given a chance to do some serious work.
I think most of the serious work they end up doing in English. I mean, that's what happens. They
right.
Have.
Well, that's the problem. We've got to give them a chance to do serious work in Yiddish. Mm. And we'll see. I'm working on it. Mm. I understand from Miriam Chaya emailed me that Rafi Goldwasser is going to be doing a Yiddish theater workshop.
That's right, yes.
And this is one of the suggestions I made in the plan I submitted to the Volksbühne, that a Yiddish theater workshop be a permanent aspect of you know, the Yiddish theater community. But he's supposed to be doing it. He's supposed to be doing three shows. The problem is, you know, they want to do it for professional actors. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem. There are not many professional actors, A, that, you know, speak Yiddish or are interested in Yiddish. And those that do are probably braggish with each other and aren't going to show up.
I just went to the library to get a story. We were talking about it yesterday. People on the van out to the show, and it's called "Envy" or Yiddish in America. It's a famous story by Cynthia Ozick, And it's all about how the writers, Yiddish writers 40 years ago hated each other and were envious of each other and couldn't get along. And, you know, things don't really change, you know.
It's true. Look, there are apocryphal stories about the tricks that the people from the various troops would play on each other when there were 15 Yiddish theaters, and 20 Yiddish theater companies. That was a way to create publicity, and it was a good thing. Now, things being what they are, this kind of thing is not productive. But anyway, I want to now take you to, if I can get to it, the interview that we did earlier today. And don't be afraid, folks. If you want to call in, I'll interrupt the interview. This is live internet radio. As I am fondly like to say, it's the Yiddish, the show about Yiddish language and culture that nobody listens to. But there might be somebody out there occasionally who listens. And if you want to call in and make any comments or and anything at all, as long as it has to do with what we're talking about, Yiddish theater, Yiddish culture. If you're mad at somebody and you want to vent, please. So the number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And now, without further ado, we will play you this reminiscence about the great Minna Byrne. And here we go.
Minna and Ben from Gehata Theater Dog.
Got to start at the beginning. So let's go to the beginning. Here we go.
Wir sitzen jetzt beim Hebrew Actors Union. Wie sagt man auf Jiddisch Hebrew Actors Union? Offiziell. Wie hat das geheißen auf Jiddisch?
Jiddisch Aktorenverein.
Ja?
Oder die Union.
Gewerkschaft.
Die Union.
Die Union.
Die Union, ja.
Ich finde, wenn darin ins Kicken herum die Peine, finde der Mutige Stärken für jüdische Theater, also berühmte Stärken wie Maurice Schwartz.
Erstens sind wir beide in der Binion für die Hebrew Actors Union. Aber wir sind noch im zweiten Stock.
Ja.
Das heißt du,
ja.
Yiddish Artists and Friends Actors Club.
Wahrscheinlich.
Das ist organisiert geworden in 1936. Das hat erst geheißen Wir Chicago.
Wir Chicago?
Wir Chicago.
Wir Chicago.
Und Paul Muni ist gewesen der erste Präsident für die Yiddish Artists and Friends Actors Club.
Das, von der Welt kommt in Europa für uns alle Gedeulen von jüdischem Theater. Arm Lebedev, Seymour Rechtzeit, Miriam Kressen, Celia Adler und weiter, also weiter, Jakob Benami, Bulov und Kadesen. Aber sitzende da beim Tisch, seine Mir, soll leben mit seinem Gesinn.
Oh mein.
Gedalia Breyer, Joan Roth und ich, Shane Baker. Und du, David Mandelbaum.
Ja. So, we are here today to celebrate the life and career of Minna Byrne, a much beloved Yiddish actress. She just recently passed away, and these folks have just returned from the cemetery.
For the unveiling.
For the unveiling. Well, you had to go to the cemetery, yes. Right, to do Red a bissel wegen ihr Leben, wegen dann Beziehung mit Minna.
Koidem ko, Gedalia, Kori. Wie ist das auch getroffen?
Ich hab gekannt Minna am Stamm über 30 Jahre. Oder mehr, erst 35 Jahre. Erstens hat sie gespielt über Radiostanzia WEVD, die besucht alle Verschollen. Und mit ihrem Mann Ben Bonus, sie haben gehabt ein eigenes Programm. Sie haben Art Raymond, was hat gespielt, jüdische Politis, jurenlang auf sein Simcha-Show, hat ständig gespielt die Musik von Ben Bonus in Minna Byrne. Und sie haben auch gespielt im Theater auf Broadway, in verschiedenen Theaters, in euch in der Catskill Berg. Und von Arbeiterin legen sie Reusfuhren für New York über die ganze Vereinigten Staaten und Kanada. Und gespielt jüdisch Theater in Städt und Städtlich. Die Jiden haben gebänkt nach einem jüdischen Wort. Ich denke, ich habe sie getroffen auf einem Konzert in New York. Ich habe gehört zu einer Schule in Valley Stream, Long Island, was hat gehabt, ein jüdisch redenden Kreis. Einmal im Jahr haben sie gehabt, eine Jüdischkeitnacht, wo Theaterspiele zu legen kommen, singen, tanzen vor dem Eulen. Und man hat gebucht Minder in Ben Bonus und ich habe sie dort getroffen.
What shows did they do on Broadway? Answer in English. Do you know what they did on Broadway?
In Broadway, they had a show, I believe it was called Light, Lively in Yiddish.
They had three shows on Broadway. Loma Zing in Yiddish, Let's Sing Yiddish, which was the first. Light, Lively in Yiddish. And Sing Israel Sing. Those were the 60s.
Yeah, now, this is in Broadway, on the real American Broadway, not here on 2nd Avenue, where we are right now, if you just go off 2nd Avenue and 7th Street. And Minna told me that they had to have police on horses to control the crowd. That's how many people were coming to the theater. It was a tremendous success. Of course, we have to understand it was a different time, different period of history, and there were a lot more, a lot bigger audiences then.
No, so, but there's a story behind that. Fragt sich sie auf Jiddisch, sie auf Englisch.
Auf Jiddisch, ja. Ein Meister, verzeihung auf Jiddisch.
Sie ist ein Meister mit der Ziegler Weiße. Mina und Ben haben gehabt ein Theater da, rund dem Rock, auf der 2. Avenue. Sie waren der Village Jiddisch Theater, wo sie sitzt in der Immigrant Savings Bank. Und sie hängt dort nach der Wand, sie hängt da ein Bild, Lekoden im jüdischen Theater, was ist einmal gewandt, wie alle anderen. Es ist später geworden, Fillmore East and The Saint, aber in der Disco. Es ist da eine Geschichte von einem Binion, dort mit Bach. Zwischen sie ja ein Bild von Mino und Ben's Theater. Und sie hat dort ein Theater und gespielt, dachte sich ein Jahr, zieht zwei, jüdische Wortwill mit jüdischen Filmen.
Also, das ist gemein mehr wie einmal.
Haben sie genommen ein Theater in Borough Park. Das ist da Bilder von den Affischen, was man gehabt hat. In Borough Park haben sie genommen ein Theater und haben geholfen zu spielen eine Revue.
The 46th Street Theater on New Utrecht Avenue, Borough Park.
Aha.
Ich bin gewesen. I was there, I saw it.
Aha.
Art Raymond advertised it on his show on WEVD. I was a kid, I was 15 years old. I traveled from Hillcrest or Fresh Meadows, Long Island, with a bus and a train. Maybe an hour and a half to Borough Park to see their show. And I loved it. I was 15 at the time.
Now we know how old you
are. And
you Und der Borecho, wer kann das sein? Ist gewesen der Lubavitcher Reb.
Der muss, redst der.
Klingt jetzt ein Ben Bonus.
I don't think so.
Er soll das erzählt mir. Er soll das erzählt mir.
Lubavitcher Reb hat geliebt.
Hat er geklingelt und gesagt, Borecho, du tust nicht machen kein jüdisch Theater da in Borecho. Du tust nicht spielen kein jüdisch Theater da. Es ist nicht gut. Von meiner Jie. Bonus geantwortet, aber Rebbe, man lässt spielen da ein Zirk, man lässt da ein Karneval, verschiedene Sachen, aber sind nicht gut. Aber der Rebbe geantwortet, dass in ein Zirk weiß ich, dass meine Jieden wollen nicht da rein. Kein Zirk und kein Karneval. Aber in jüdischen Theater wollen meine Chassidim sich reingehalten. In the Tosne spielen kein jüdischen Theater.
I gotta repeat this.
Und nicht mit kein langer Zeit später ist gekommen ein Telefon von Brooks Atkinson Theater, als sie haben ledige Zeit zwischen Vorstellungen, was sie darf noch im Film. Sie suchen eine Revue, sie wollen sie so dort spielen. Und damals sind sehr oft auf Broadway mit Lomi singen Jiddisch. Das ist ein Mäufes von einem Rebbe. Also ich fliege mir nicht dazu.
Aber es kann nicht sein, der Lubavitcher Rebbe. Erstens, der Lubavitcher Rebbe hat mich zu tun mit Borough Park. Sein...
Chassidim sein in Karnheit.
So es kann sein, ein Rav, aber der Rebbe hat geriefen. Aber es muss sein, ein anderer Rebbe. Weil Rabbi Stierson hat das ganze Team
im Theater. Was meint, dass er hat umgeriefen, gesagt, also lange wie du machst, wie du führst auf Vorstellungen. Äfscher kannst du schreiben etwas wegen mir, Mashiach kommt, etwas.
Ein anderer Rebbe.
A musical, you know, Mashiach kommt.
So John, how did you hear the story in English? How did you hear the story?
I don't know what you said.
Of the Borough Park Theater, how they had their theater here.
Yes.
And then they had to go to Borough Park and then they wound up on board.
Right, I heard the same story, kind of. That the Lubavitch, that too many people were coming from the community. And the Rebbe didn't like that because they weren't supposed to go to the theater. And so they wanted them to leave. And they said,
but
what I was, where should we go?
Oh, yeah, that's a point. Yeah, in Zolikei. But then he answered.
Yeah, and so he said, Broadway.
Oh, the Rebbe? Yeah.
The Rebbe said Broadway, and a few days later, the Brutzakitsen Theater calls and says...
Erlein hat geriefen, Brutzakitsen
Theater.
Yes, we're still giving up Vienna, but we're not on a theater now.
But also, I think that Ben is the kind of person you had to tell him, no, you can't have your theater here, so he's going to, nothing's going to stop him. Like you. And so maybe like all of us, so nothing's going to stop him. He says he can't, so he has to do one better.
Well, so I know you had a very close relationship with Nina. How did you meet her, and how did you first get interested in her?
Very interestingly, I actually read about her in the Jewish Week. And there was something extremely intriguing. And I just said, I had to meet her. I really wanted to meet her. And at the time, she was we made an appointment at her house. And I went there, and she wasn't there. So I was really all upset. So I was trying to find around where she was. And it turned out she was in the Bialystok home around the corner. And so I walked over there. And I knocked on the door there, and I went in to see her, and she was sleeping. And I was actually with my husband, and so we just sat down on the chairs, and we waited till she woke up. And then she said she woke up, and there we were sitting there. And she was so startled. It was our first.
And over the years, you developed a close relationship with her. I know you documented a lot of this video.
I did.
And what's happening is you're going to... be a compilation or something?
It's a documentary, really, is what it is.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a long time in terms of putting it together, getting the money, whatever. But it's really wonderful because in the beginning we just had really a lot of fun doing it. And, of course, Mina is fantastic on the camera. And she's such a fantastic storyteller herself and performer and also her life story. To me, her life story is very, very meaningful. Because I think she's a true representation of what it means to be a Jewish person. So to me, she's a big hero. The way she's, as a woman, that she survived the war on her own, through her own mental strength, intuition, and brilliance. And I don't know many stories like Mina's. I think it's a very unique, original story. And it really preserves our Jewish history, but also Yiddish. She was the guardian of the Yiddish language. She's such a great performer. She really is. And she could have been in any kind of, she could have been in the movie Star. She could have been in English.
But she was.
Well, she was, too. But Yiddish was her love, and her devotion was the Yiddish theater. And she would never trade that for anything. And that's what I also loved about her, is that she knew who she was, and she was true to that.
We have to get your soul there. Get into the program. So tell us the story of how you got to know.
Well, I got to know Mina in 1995. I had seen her in the Volksbühne in 1993, and she was playing in Mirla Efros then. And I just thought her performance was incredible.
In the title role?
No. She was playing the Beze Machatengis to Chana Toyer. It's a gewesen ein Moment, wo sich gedenkt noch an die. Als man vertrieben dem Schalatenschabes, Reb Schalmen, von Mirala Efros' Haus, als Norman Kruger gespielt hat, schon mal gestanden. Und meine, wie die Marketing ist, ist reingekommen, ausgeputzt in Essig und in Honig. Und das ist auch mehreres Geld, was ich in einer kleinen Stadt in Oran, und das hat gedacht, Kleider zu der Kasten. Sie reingekommen, ausgeputzt in Kleider, was mir leider Foss hat gekauft. Und ihre Tochter hat gewollt beherrschen das Haus, hat mir gedacht, beseitigen Reb Schalmen, weil er hat Achtung gegeben auf mehrere. Und man hat gewissen, etwas ist nicht in Ordnung mit den Büchern, man hat ihn verschämt und gesagt, dass er ist gar nicht von einem Misser weg. Und alle haben geredet, aber mir hat nicht gehabt, keine Repliken in der Szene. Diese Porsche gesessen, hat sie genommen, mehrere Air Force Bankel, gesessen in der Ballerboster Spankel, und er aufgesetzt die Fies auf der Fies Bankel und gekickt mit der Polfinkeln dicke Augen, wie man hat immer rausgetreten. Und das gewann, also zu sagen, a theatrical epiphany von mir. Also die Werte sind nicht so wichtig, wie man spielt. Weil mir hat beherrscht die Biene. Ich habe sie gar nicht gerettet. Aber ich gewusst, dass ich muss auch bekennen mit dir. Und nur ich mache von einer Scheile wegen meinem Hintel.
No, aber das ist ein gut Mindset, weil es euch gesagt auf Englisch, there were no small roles, only small actors.
Yeah.
And this is a case in point.
Absolutely. Because one thing about me that you can do...
And that, in case you're not following, I know we're going back and forth between Yiddish and English, but the point that Shane was making, that this was a scene in which Minna had no lines, and yet she commanded the stage.
Yes.
And it was an epiphany for him because he realized that one doesn't necessarily need to say anything to make an impression on an audience.
And neither was she mugging. She wasn't making up bits of business. She just had the power, that's all. You had to look at it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I had the privilege of working with her once. And she had a one scene, and she really did command the stage there in that scene. And it was a pleasure to work with her. She was always so upbeat and so cheerful. Now, I know I've heard some stories about her. I know she could be a diva. And she had some stormy times, even with the best of her friends. But self-co-self, she's given...
Sie hat gehabt Liebdrama, viele in ihrem Leben. Sie hat gemacht ein bisschen Drama von Zeit zu Zeit. Aber allemal mit Humor. Man erzählt, als sie ist herumgefahren, gemacht Konzerten mit Moshe Oisha. Und er gewann ein Opernsänger, Chasen zwischen allen anderen. Die Sachen, was er getan hat. Vielleicht hat er rumgehen, Pfarrer vorstellen, vokalisieren. Ah. Und er hat sich getroffen mit mir und gefragt, Mine, du gehst nicht vokalisieren, was schreibst du? Hat sie geantwortet, dass sie hat schon vokalisiert, sie hat geschrieben auf Ben Boris und daheim. Das ist das gewesen. Aber ja, ich gedenke euch einmal, wenn ihr kennen sie hier, ich habe schon gehabt gegessen und sie hat das gewusst, aber sie hat gemacht Soup von deswegen und sie hat ausgelegt auf dem Tisch ein Stückchen Hering mit Challah. Aber ich habe gesagt, Mine, ich habe gesagt, dass ich gehe essen früher, ich darf nicht essen, ich darf essen später, ich bin nicht hungrig, hat sie geantwortet, du bist ja hungrig. Aber ich habe gesagt, von wann weißt du, dass ich bin hungrig? Sag ich, du bist dann mein Morgen, hat sie geantwortet, ich bin dein Morgen. Ein Schott von dir, wo ich bin, ist dein Kopf.
Corey, Gedalia.
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 I want to tell you a story.
Good.
I am president of the Yiddish Artists of Friends at least 20 years, maybe I mentioned it before. The president before me was Marty Lerner, who is no longer with us. Marty was moving to Florida, and he called me up, and he said, we had a meeting last night of the board, and we nominated a new president because I'm moving to Florida. So I said, who is it? And they said, you. And he says to me, you. I said, me? I'm going to be president? And that was 20 years ago or more. Thank you, Nishna. You know what an honor it was? I was president of an organization. I had three vice presidents, Minna Byrne, Shifra Lehrer, and Razel Budget. Wie kommt es als ihr? So sein the president. Über die drei wonderful, wunderliche actresses from the Yiddish theater who gave their lives, their whole lives,
for Yiddish theater. I was so honored. Now, Minna, I used to make the MC of the shows at the dinners that we had. And I loved when she did the following, and she did it so many times. She would give somebody, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, liebe Freunde, gib mir jetzt das Programm zu Minna Byrne. I'm giving the program over to Minna Byrne. And Minna would get up and say, Shalom Aleichem, meine teure Freund. Sie ist auch kuvert für mich heute Nacht vorstellen, aber kann das singen. Was singt über die ganze Welt, sei in Amerika, sei in Amerika, er ist so. Überall singt sie, und die Menschen haben mir so lieb, sie sind so bekannt. Meine teure Freund, stelle ich euch vor, and then she'd look at me and say, wie sie heiße?
Gedalia, why don't you tell folks about the Yiddish Actors and Friends and how they can join, what kind of events you have, and generally how new members can come in.
The Yiddish Actors and Friends Club is located at 31 East 7th Street on the second floor of the Hebrew Actors Union Building between 2nd and 3rd Avenue in the Lower East Side, in the heart of Wus Zamul Gevein, the Yiddish world, the Yiddish theater world. And we are an organization that produces five events a year. One, and one of the most important, is our honoring our veterans who are no longer with us, where we travel together to Mount Hebron Cemetery in Flushing, Queens. We have a beautiful memorial service for the veterans and the composers and the stagehands who belong to the Hebrew Actors Union or who were active at the Yiddish theater over the years. And we do this together with the Yiddish Theatrical Alliance, who is the owner of the plots on the cemetery. That's one function. And then we have four others. The first one is usually right after Simchas Torah, an opening for the new year, on the Jewish calendar at least, where we have a singer and a dinner. Then we have an annual Hanukkah party. We have a Seder. I would imagine it's one of the few organizations in the world that has a Seder fully in Yiddish, fully in Yiddish. And it's always sold out, and the people rave every year about it. We use the Arbitering Haggadah, not the one they're using now, the Alta Haggadah.
Oh, we'll have to.
And it, we have the Chazan, who the last few years, Chazan Moshe Baer from Dixville's Jewish Center, he conducts. And it is just a magnificent evening, all in Yiddish, all in Yiddish. It's beautiful. A real Emes Seder using the Arbitering Haggadah. And our last function of the season is in June, where we have once again a singer or singers performing with a full dinner.
You have something coming up that folks might be interested in, honoring another great star.
Yes, and another vice president. This Wednesday, I don't know, when is this being played?
Tonight at 6.
Oh, so it's you'll be able to come here. This Wednesday at 6:30 in the Sutton Place Synagogue, the Yiddish Artists and Friends Actors Club is holding its first event for the season. We have to go to a different location because we have so many people coming that our room here, which fits over 120 people, was just too small. We are honoring the now First Lady of the Yiddish Theater, our beloved Shifra Lehrer, a Yiddish actress originally from Buenos Aires, Argentina, who came to America in 1943, eventually married the Yiddish star Ben Sion Whitler, and when he passed away, Michal Michalevich, and has played Yiddish theater throughout the entire world, a beloved, beloved, beloved actress, star not only of stage, but also the screen in a number of Woody Allen comedies.
How can people make reservations?
You can make reservations by contacting us on the internet at the Yiddish Artists and Friends Actors Club address, the screen name. It's yafac18@aol.com. I'll say it again, so it's knockable. yafac18@aol.com. And reservations are still being accepted. It's a very reasonable price. It's $40 for a full tribute musical show and dinner. Galat Kosha, Husha V'Yusha. Our guest stars are Tony-nominated Broadway star Eleanor Risa, Yiddish theater star Chaim Wolf, and the famous Yiddish singing sister duo, the Shechta Techta. Our musical director is Benjamin Shechter, noted musical director of
of Yiddish, who's very well known throughout the world for his accomplishments in Yiddish music from that wonderful Schechter family. And we urge you to come. Show your respect and admiration and love for our beloved Shifra Lehrer. Oh,
Joan, you
want
to say one thing about Shifra, which is most people maybe not remember, is that she's the greatest comedian. And she played my very favorite part in any film, Deconstructing Harry. She played the mother in the sky. And I'm still laughing. I've been laughing since the day that I saw it. It was so fabulous.
It's funny you're talking about that movie. A few years ago, my son calls me up, my son, who at the time must have been about 25 years old, and he said, Tati, ich hab jetzt gekickt den Film, and Tante Schiffer spielt in den Film. I says, well, welcher Film? Er gesagt, Deconstructing Harry. And it was a wonderful. I also loved that movie, with, especially because of Shifra. I was so proud of her.
She stole the whole movie.
Yeah, she was
great.
I also had the privilege of working with her in a Pinsky drama that was put up at the museum down in Battery Park.
Oh, the Mishpachat Zvi.
Yeah, Mishpachat Zvi. She was a lovely woman and very wonderful to work with. So now, before we end this part of the program, I have a question for you. Gedalia, Shane and Joan, what's going to be the future of Yiddish theater? What's going to be? How are we going to get young people to come to the theater and revive the tradition that we all love so much?
Well, if I could speak for the club, when I became president 20 years ago, we would have about 45 people at an event, 50 people maybe, mm-hmm. in the best of times, 60. Mm-hmm. David, now we are always sold out or almost sold out. This affair for Shifra on Wednesday, we have at this point, and we're not finished selling the tickets, over 170 people, and they're not all Bubbies and Sadies. We have a lot of younger people that are appearing these days in the Volksbühne productions, in your productions from the New Yiddish Rep, people that are singing throughout the country, both America and Canada, and other places in the world, young, that a lot of them learn Yiddish in college. Of course, there's no country where Yiddish is the main language. Israel has Hebrew, Italy has Italian, Greece has a Greek language. Does Yiddish vote? And really, these days, if you're not Hasidish, Avastam has to be learned in a classroom. Hitler, unfortunately, not only killed 6 million Jews, but he also did a tremendous job in destroying our Yiddish culture.
Unfortunately, had some help from our own people.
But there is such a bright light now.
That's another story.
Yes, I'll leave that for another day. There's a bright light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. and it shows in our Yiddish Artists and Friends Actors Club, where we have so many younger members now that have joined and participate and sing and perform. And I am very, very proud. Ich bin schon der Alte.
So
I used to be
optimistic.
The kid, now I'm the old man.
You express a great deal of optimism.
Yes. Yes, I'm very confident that Yiddish theater will live on for many, many years.
I certainly hope so. And I know that you're doing everything you can to...
Well, we have a young actor right next to me, Mr. Shane.
That's right.
I was young once, but maybe I'll do it again sometime. It's a question. I mean, it's a fight. We've had that experience with the theater to get young people into the New Yiddish Rep. They do the same thing at the Volksbühne. They fight to get young people in there. But this is a fight that the theater in general has. If you go to any Broadway house, there's a graying of the audience for a lot of shows. This is not a crime. I think as long as people are coming, that's good, whether it's young people or not. But as artists, we have to do what we feel is the most interesting and best work that we can do and hope that the audience is going to come, just like the Better Mousetrap that we're supposed to build. And if you build it, they will come. So I think that there's potential maybe with the religious crowd, even though some of them are not so big on going to the theater. I think others may want to take a look at this aspect of Yiddish culture, what it has to say about being a Jew. And beyond that, I myself am not a Jew, but I became fascinated by Yiddish theater and eventually by Yiddish language and literature.
The house shines in. Don't worry, you already belong to us.
Alle jüdische Kinder sollen wissen, wie sie reden Jiddisch, von teure, von alles Ding, was hat zu tun mit Jiddischkeit, also wie der Shane Baker, so was angesinnt. Er hat ein Herz wie Gold, und er ist klug wie seine Stückchen Werte.
Und ich habe Sach von dem gelernt bei mir.
Yes. Not only you, many younger people over the years look to Minna for education, for advice, and to learn how to play theater in the real, true way. She truly was a professor of Yiddish theater.
Yeah.
She absolutely was. She was, because one thing about Minna, it wasn't that she just taught you Yiddish. She taught you how beautiful the beauty of Yiddish, how beautiful the language was. The theater and the language.
Yeah, she... We were talking this over, and the comment has been made by several people. Minna was in her 99th year when she passed away back in January. But no one ever felt that. You felt her experience, you felt her wisdom, and you knew that she had a lot behind any statement that she made. But you didn't feel like this is a 99-year-old woman that you're talking to.
That's for sure.
You felt like this is a woman of a certain age. But she had such a drive and such a life force. And some of this had to do, I think, with the fact that she was always looking to help young researchers of Yiddish theater, of Yiddish music. She was always trying to make connections with the new generations and to bring what she knew to them. And I think that this had a lot to do with why she stayed so young.
Well, this has been a fascinating discussion. I want to thank Gitali Hebraya, Shane Baker, John Roth. I'm your host, David Mandelbaum. This is the least listened to radio program on the air, the New Yiddish Radio Hour. I hope that it was informative and entertaining. And once again, I want to thank you all. Be sure to go to YAFAC18. At AOL.com and make your reservations for this tribute to Schifflera on Wednesday, and find out a little more about this organization, and hopefully some of you will be joining us in the future.
I'd like to let you know, Dovidal, that on December 9th, this coming December 9th, 2010, the Yiddish Artists and Friends Actors Club will be saluting in a musical salute, in a happy Freilich salute, the life of Minna Byrne, here at 31 East 7th Street, in the building that she spent so much of her lifetime as a union member and as president of the Hebrew Actors Club at one time, and then as vice president of the Yiddish Artists and Friends Actors Club. Much of her life was spent in this building, and we will salute her this Wednesday, this coming December 9th. May God rest her soul. Minna,
we love you. We're thinking of
you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
David. Thank you, David.
How does one hear this?
Okay, I'll tell you how. No.
A fan in Yiddish means Facher. So every time you get too hot, Facher, what a feeling somehow when you Facher. At the sidetrack, I could always find a Facher. I'm so hot, 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 I need a Facher. So hot, 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 I need a Facher. So hot, 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 I need a Facher. I'm so hot, I need a Facher. If there's a heat wave, why should you suffer? Everyone should have a handy Facher. Now, did you hear about a robber named a Buffer? He held up 40 banks, the motherfucker. I'm so hot, 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 I need a fucker.
Everybody sing!